God's word today. We will turn to Luke chapter 23, verses 39 to 43. Verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." Amen. God is omniscient. God is omniscient. God is omniscient. He knows all things. Not only does he know all things, but he remembers all things. So he knows all and remembers all. He examines a person's thoughts, heart, and plans. And those whom he remembers, he will take to paradise and ultimately to the Father's house. So he will take those whom he remembers. Our faith is for my soul to believe in this fact. Do you believe? Some may question, will he truly remember someone like me? It's easy to think that way, but if we truly have faith, then we have to believe the word as is, that he knows all and remembers all. And not only that, he examines the thoughts, heart, the attitude, and plans of man. So faith is to acknowledge this at all times. And those with such faith, the life of faith is to remember the words that Jesus had said and the works he has done. So remember the words of Jesus Christ and his works. Psalm chapter 104, it mentions this. It's first to remember what Jesus Christ spoke, and second is to live a life becoming a remembrance to Jesus Christ, to God. It's not just about us remembering Jesus Christ, but also living a life that is a remembrance to him. So it is a life lived to leave a good memory for God. And this is what faith life is. Because when God remembers me and thinks of me in times of danger or crisis, he will remember us. And when we call out, he will remember and will save us. So Jonah chapter 2:7 says, "When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple." So it says, "I remembered you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple." So remember is very important. You may live a busy and hectic life and just passes away and may think you live thoughtlessly, but you have to realize that what remains of such life is memory. So it's very important. And when you have difficulty remembering things when young, it may be called forgetfulness. But when you forget things as you get older, it's called Alzheimer's or dementia. And it's very scary. Now, who's successful in life? It's one who leaves a remembrance of them in society. So when someone leaves behind a remembrance of themselves in culture or in the family, they're remembered greatly. But if you are someone who is cursed when they think of you, then that's not good. A successful life and someone successful is one who leaves behind a remembrance of themselves. So it is to leave a good memory of oneself. And such people are the ones who've lived a successful life. So people continue to build up endurance and the ability to remember. They try to develop this function of remembering. So there's now almost nothing we can't do or create. And as we create AI that has incredible skills and memories to advance this function of memory. And we see that this field is developing and determines the direction of society and culture and life. So how many of you believe that God is the creator? Raise your hand if you 100% believe that God is the creator. 100%? So raise your hand up high so that God can see and so he will be pleased. Raise your hand. 100%. Yes, I already knew that our church members believe in this. So if you believe in creationism and you believe in the omnipotence of God, then you must also believe that God is omniscient, that he is all-knowing and he remembers all. And if you don't acknowledge that, then you don't believe in God 100%. So in Psalms chapter 94, 9, it says, "Does he who fashioned the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? And does he who formed the brain not remember?" So does he who fashioned the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eye not see? And does he who formed the brain not remember? So if we believe in the omnipotence of God, then we also ought to believe in the omniscience of God. So whether we have faith or not, whether your faith grows or not, it's dependent on whether you believe in the omnipotence of God as well as his omniscience. So if we truly believe in the omnipotent God, then we have to know that he is all-knowing. And so as written in Psalms, it says that those who God remembers, he knows who they are. He remembers those who fear him. So the Bible is written about those whom God remember are those who revere, those who fear God. In Psalms chapter 115:13, it says, "He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike." So the one whom God remembers are those who fear the Lord. And one such man was Abraham, who did not spare his one and only son, but offered him up as a burnt sacrifice. And by doing so, God knew that he feared the Lord. So Abraham was called, as we read in Genesis chapter 18, he appeared before his home. And so the Lord appeared to Abraham near the great trees of Mamre while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent. And so Abraham, he ran out to him and said to him, he said, "By your grace, you have come to my house." And so he welcomed him. He bowed low to the ground and welcomed him. And Abraham did everything he could to prepare the best food for them. He selected a choice tender calf and prepared a meal for God. And as soon as God received it, he blessed him, saying, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son." So as Abraham welcomed him joyously and prepared all this for him, he was blessed as a result with a son. Though they were past childbearing age, Abraham, he was 90 years old, but God blessed him that he would have a son. Also, God remembers what Abraham did and his faith, so he blesses his descendants as well. because God remembered him. And when his nephew Lot was living in Sodom and Gomorrah, God punished the place by raining down burning sulfur on it. And it all was to be destroyed. But only Lot and his family were rescued, were warned. And this happened as God remembered Abraham. So God remembered Abraham and remembered the works that Abraham did and how he received the Lord and bowed low to the ground before him. So because he remembered Abraham, all that he had done, he even saved his nephew Lot and allowed his family to escape the destruction of the city. So God, also, there is Joseph, who wound up in Egypt and in prison. He was living a wretched life, having no hope and not knowing when he would be released. And when he was in prison, there was another Pharaoh's chief cupbearer and chief baker, and they were there with him in prison. And they each had a dream. And when Joseph interpreted the dreams for them, it happened exactly as he interpreted. And after the cupbearer was released, a time had passed. And one day, Pharaoh had a dream, and no one was able to interpret it. And it was then that the cupbearer remembered that while in prison, Joseph, this man Joseph, had interpreted his dream, and it happened just as he said. And so he said, "I had forgotten, but now I remember." So the cupbearer remembered Joseph because of what he did. So he remembered Joseph, that he remembered all Joseph had done. And so Joseph, eventually Joseph was able to go before Pharaoh and translated his dream and was therefore put in charge of the whole land of Egypt. So when the land faced a great famine, all the people came to Egypt, and this happened because God remembered Joseph and the descendants of Abraham. Also with Moses, he led the people of Israel out of Egypt. And how was he able to do this work? So Moses, before the Exodus, he lived plentifully without lack in Egypt. However, he remembered to look back on his people, the Israelites. It says, when Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. So he remembered to look on his people. So initially, he was disinterested in his people, even though they were enslaved in Egypt. But when he turned 40, God gave him this thought to look back, to look upon his brothers. And it was God who reminded him of this. So when he saw a fellow Hebrew servant being mistreated by an Egyptian, he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. And now this was all part of the schedule of God as we see it being unfolded here. So say amen if you believe this. So Israel, for 400 years they were slaves. 430 years they were slaves in a foreign land. And they were then liberated through the Exodus. Is this possible? There's no such historical event as this. They had no identity and no sovereignty of their own. And there was never such moment like this. But the whole people of Israel were freed out of Egypt. This happened not by their own might or their own thought or plan, but it was because God remembered the covenant that he made with Abraham. So God remembered the covenant that he made with Abraham. And in English, the version, it says God visited, which in other words means that he thought of them. He remembered them. So there's songs that have lyrics saying, I recall and remember the good old path, the good old days. So because he had them on his mind, he remembered to visit them and free them. So they were liberated from years of slavery. And this was possible because God remembered them. God remembered Abraham. He remembered the covenant that he made with their ancestor Abraham. In Genesis chapter 15:13, it says, then the Lord said to him, know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. So God remembered Abraham as well as his descendants, and to fulfill his covenant and prophecy, God let them out. So then they wound up in the desert wilderness, and there they received the law. So what was the function of the law? It was to remind them of the Lord Jehovah. They were reminded through the law that God is omniscient, that he is all-knowing. He knows all, and they cannot deceive him. They cannot hide anything from him. And this is what was ingrained in their minds. And there is an example in the Bible that shows us that if we try to deceive God, we will be severely punished. So there, as they used to give offerings, there was a reminder offering that was given. So for example, there's a husband and wife, and if the husband suspects the wife might not be faithful, committed adultery and doubts her fidelity, what he can do is take this wife he is suspicious of and go to the priest, and there is a reminder offering that is given, which makes one remember their sin. So it's to draw attention to any wrongdoing. So when they take that offering to God, they put bitter water into a bowl, and the woman is to drink it. So there's bitter water in a bowl, and the woman drinks the water. And if she drinks it and she's not harmed by it, then it proves her innocence. But if she drinks it, and her stomach bloats up, her abdomen bloats up, then it'll show that she is guilty of sin. Such laws show the Israelites that if you try to deceive God, he will punish you for it. For God knows all, he sees all, and he will remember all. So this was a very scary law. So they were to remember at all times how they were, that God knows all and sees all, remembers all, and they were to fear him. And they were to remember that from the point of the Exodus and to where they are now, they were to remember what he had done for them. So they were given the seasons and festivals in order for them to remember, such as the Passover. On the light they left Egypt. That night they were to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost, and the homes which did not have the blood were cursed, but those that did were spared of their firstborn. They were saved. They left Egypt in such a hurry that they did not put yeast in the bread, and they came out with bread made without yeast, and it was very hard bread. So such food would remind them of Jehovah, remind them of Him. And there were festivals of the first day of harvest. So they also had festivals where they remembered and stored their first fruits in the barns. And so the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of your labors which you have sown in the field, the Feast of Ingathering at the end of the year when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. And there were many festivals that reminded them of the things that Jehovah did for them. And through the years, the festivals and seasons, God reminded them of all He did for them. And the Sabbath also was to remind them every week that God is the Creator. And all this was to remind them of God constantly. However, the Israelites had a problem with their memory as they forgot about the grace of God. They forgot how they came to where they are, how they left Egypt, that they were living in miracles. And it was Satan, the devil, that made them forget that. So they forgot all that God had done for them. And rather, they started to complain and grumble about the manna they had to eat every day and wanted to go back to Egypt, as they remembered that there they were able to eat cucumbers and melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. So they missed those times and wanted to go back to Egypt. And so they set leaders to return. And as a result, they were all struck dead. The reason why they all fell dead in the desert was because they did not remember what Jehovah had done for them. So those who grumbled and complained, those who forgot what they should have remembered, were all struck dead. And among the adult age generation, Joseph and Caleb were able to enter the land of Canaan, the promised land, as God remembered their ancestor Abraham. So Abraham, we see here, was a very important figure. So if you are the first generation in your family who believed in Jesus, raise your hand. That no one before you believed in Jesus, but you are the first generation. Are you the front runner in your family to believe in Jesus? So there was none before you who believed in Jesus? Do all of you have generation of believers? So the first one is so important. That through me, let my family and generations that come after me be those whom God remembers. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That let my family that come after me, the generations that come after me, be whom God remembers. Amen. Samson was born into a very important family, and he and the Lord blessed him. And so the Spirit of the Lord was with him as he fought against Israel's enemies. Then one day he fell in love with a Philistine woman named Delilah. And eventually he was deceived by her, and his eyes were gouged out, and he was placed in chains. And in the last moments of his life, he prayed to the Lord. So Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me. Please, God, strengthen me just once more, and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." And so he received this strength, and then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple on the rulers and all the people in it. And thus he killed many more when he died than while he lived. Hallelujah. And there is also King Hezekiah in Isaiah chapter 38:3 and 2 Kings 25 mentions him. So King Hezekiah was at the point of death, but he prayed to the Lord with sincerity. He said, "Remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes." So he didn't ask God to save him, but he asked God to remember all he did. Now, all that he did faithfully with wholehearted devotion, and all that he had done that was good in his eyes. To remember all that. And after he cried out, praying like this, Hezekiah's life was extended 15 years. So there are people like this. Amen. However, because the people were stiff-necked, they lived as a people without God, a people who forgot about God. So the prophets, they would continually remind them to remember God Jehovah, to remember Jehovah. All the difficulties that you are suffering right now is not because Jehovah wants to give them to you. Rather, he wishes to give you life and peace. So the tribulations, the sufferings are the results of your wicked ways, of your wicked thoughts, your unrighteous thoughts. It's not something the Father wants to give out. So they gave this message to return back and repent. The prophets continued to warn the Israelites with such words to return to Jehovah. And after time passed, the Israelites, they faced great difficulty. They lost in wars and were plundered and dragged off to other nations and foreign nations and lived there. And finally, Jesus appeared before the temple and he said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days." He said, "Destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. It took 46 years to build this temple. So how were they to raise it in 3 days? So this was unbelievable. And so they thought he was a liar. So Jesus was despised and later handed over to death. And they plotted to kill him. But Jesus said, knowing all this, "Destroy this temple," meaning the temple of Jerusalem made by human hands, made from the dust. And it contained the name of Jehovah, who governed by the law. And the law's function, the important function of the law, was to remind the people of the Lord God Jehovah, in order for them to constantly remember. They were given the seasons and feasts as a tool to remind them of the works of God. This was done by the feasts and festivals that they were done at the temple of Jerusalem. So this all took place at the temple of Jerusalem. Sin offering was given by the blood of animal sacrifice. But now, no longer would it be an era where they performed such with blood of animals at the temple, where if they performed there, then they would be promised longevity and life in the promised land. But no longer this. But once the temple is destroyed, referring to the temple of his body. So the temple of his body was what he was referring to. The body of Jesus. The temple of his body. So his death and resurrection. Through this, he would remind them the name of Yeshua. So through the temple of his body, his death and resurrection, he would remind them and he would ingrain in them the name of Yeshua. So before, it was the name of Jehovah. But the temple to be raised back up with Jesus' death and resurrection would be the name Yeshua. Yeshua. And it was by the law of truth he would die and be raised back up. The truth. So through his death and resurrection, he testified that he is the truth. And the king who reigns by the truth. So through the feasts, they remembered the works of Jehovah. Now, through the death and resurrection of Jesus, they would remember the time of the Son of Man. So the Son of God. So it would remind them of the works that he completed with his body, which was his death and resurrection. So this is what they would be reminded of. And those who remember the works of Jesus Christ, and if they remember, then he too will remember them. And they would go from this world and enter the Father's house and live there for eternity. So the works that the Son of Man has done in his body, we call that the time of the Son of Man. So the works that the Son of Man has done in his body, we call that the time of the Son of Man. So after he was baptized, he started his public ministry. And what was on his mind all day, from early morning to lunch to evening, all day long, day and night, he lived thinking of the Father. So Jesus remembered the Father, so therefore the Father would remember the Son. So the Son would remember the Father, and the Father would remember the Son. So this is like a relationship. So as Jesus remembered the Father, he did the works of the Father. Jesus said, "I have come to do the Father's work." And he continued to proclaim and do the Father's works. The disciples followed Jesus, and he went to a certain place to speak his words and preach there. And there was a multitude that followed. And his disciples said they didn't bring any bread. So after Jesus finished speaking, the disciples asked if they should go to the town to buy food. But Jesus said that there was no need to go, and he blessed the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he fed all those thousands of people, and there was leftover. And he told his disciples, "Do you not remember the works I did of feeding the thousands with 5 loaves and 2 fish? He told his disciples to remember that even in the desert, the God who fed the Israelites in the desert for 40 years and Jesus who fed the thousands is the same God. They were to remember that. So the people who followed Jesus and who had no food to eat, Jesus, the same God, fed them the bread and fish. That the God who appeared to the Israelites in the desert in the Old Testament and Jesus in the New Testament are the same. And the Bible records the story of a widow, a poor widow, who came and put in 2 very small copper coins as an offering before the temple. But Jesus saw this poor widow who put in these 2 very small copper coins. In Greek, it's embratas, which means it was not by coincidence. It's not just seeing, not that he just happened to see her, but it means that Jesus saw from the very beginning, knows the thought, the heart, the plans of all. He knows. It means he saw her situation and how she prepared those two very small copper coins and with what kind of heart she gave with. And so he was moved by what she did. And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." So this woman certainly would be remembered by Jesus. That woman left a remembrance of her. And when he returns, what do you think will happen to her? The Bible does not mention what happens, but if she's recorded in the Bible just once, then when Jesus returns, likely he will tell her, "Rise up, to rise up, let us go together to the Father's house." Hallelujah. And there is the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew. And so Jesus, there were 5 who were wise and 5 who were foolish. So while waiting for the groom to come, the foolish virgins took their lamps but didn't have any oil. And while they were panicking, trying to get more oil, they went out to get some more oil. But in the meantime, the groom came and the door was shut. So later they came, the foolish virgins, they came later and said, "Lord, Lord, open the door for us," to open the door. But what was said from the other side? But it says, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you." It says, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. I don't know you." So if Jesus Christ says, "I don't know you," it means that he has no memory of you. They believed in the coming of the groom and they brought their lambs. All of that, he will not remember. He will remember none of that. So until the day he returns, you are to continually remember that he is coming and prepare your oils. But because they did not, they were not able to enter. So how sad is that? So those who do not know and those unbelievers, they will just end up in hell. But even among the believers, they live a life trying not to sin and trying to obey the word and trying to follow. But then later find out that they are not able to enter. It will be for nothing. So how sad is that? We cannot end up like the foolish virgins whom the Lord does not remember. So we have to live a life as a remembrance to Jesus, to live a life, to leave a good memory for him. Amen. Hallelujah. And as we read in the opening passage, when Jesus died on the cross, there were 2 other men, criminals, who were also led to be executed. And one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, saying, "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But there was another criminal who rebuked him, saying, it says the other criminal rebuked him to shut up. "Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And this is what the other criminal said. And then he goes on to say, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." So the one who is blessed is the one who realizes who Jesus is. He realized that and he acknowledged his sin. and that he is being put to death justly. But he also believed that Jesus was innocent, that he has done nothing wrong. And because he asked Jesus to remember him when he goes to his kingdom, Jesus ingrained in his memory this criminal. So this criminal left the remembrance to Jesus. And so Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Hallelujah. Jesus died and said, "It is finished." And as the night before he died, it records that Jesus prayed fervently with loud cries. And it says, being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. So with all that he had, earnestly and with sincerity, with all that he had, he prayed. So he prayed fervently with loud cries and petitions, and his sweat became like blood falling to the ground. That he prayed for hours and hours and prayed so hard. So he did everything with all his might and with all his heart. And when he died, he said, I am thirsty. The reason why he said that was so that all things prophesied would be fulfilled. Knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. And so by saying this, he fulfilled all. So he fulfilled all things with all his might and all his strength. Amen, hallelujah. And through his death, he condemned the devil, the liar. And he shed his blood and sprinkled into the souls of all men and redeemed them. And those who receive it now think of Jesus Christ. Say amen if you have the blood of Jesus. Now who do you think of? The moment you wake up, the moment we open our eyes, the moment we fall asleep, who do we think of? Yeshua. At all times, all moments, we ought to think of Yeshua. So if we truly think of Jesus, he will surely remember us. So we ought to become those whom God remembers. Say amen if you have the blood of Jesus. Who am I? I am someone whom Jesus cannot forget. So when I lived in Korea, after meeting Jesus and evangelizing college students, there were countless people, but there are those I particularly remember. People I cried and prayed together with. I still remember them. There were many people. There were, as I evangelized, many. So there are these particular people I remember. There were wives who followed after me, following this way of Christ and of evangelism, for living for Jesus. And one husband came to church where there was a marble flooring and threw his wife on the floor, saying, "This woman is brainwashed and is crazy." So I still remember these people. So the reason why God gave us the blood of Jesus is so that we would remember him. The reason the Counselor Holy Spirit came is to remind us of the works that Jesus Christ has done and the words he has spoken. So the Counselor Holy Spirit reminds us of this. And those who remember such and think of such is called a Christian. I am a Christian. I am a Christian. It's not to say I am a cultured or refined person, but a Christian is one who has been born by the blood of Jesus Christ, the one who has been sprinkled by his blood, the soul who has received his blood. So therefore, such person, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So in all that we do, whether in word or deed, we do it with all our might and strength. We do it sincerely and wholeheartedly. We don't just do things to pass the time, but it's with all our might and strength, wholeheartedly and sincerely. It's not to pass time or it's not out of force, but we pray with all our might and strength to the point where our sweat become like drops of blood. Pouring out tears to the point where all the liquids in us will be drained out. So have you prayed to such an extent where your nose is running and your tears are pouring out, where all the liquids in you are drained out? Have you had such experience of repentance and of crying out? It will when we pray with all our might and heart. We have to pray in such a way for him to remember us. He is the omniscient one. He knows all of our hearts and our plans. He knows to what extent we're doing with all our might. So we have to do all things wholeheartedly and sincerely. So even if we pray, even if we repent, we ought to do it wholeheartedly. And he'll say, I have seen your tears. And when he sees us and remember us, he must acknowledge that we are doing it wholeheartedly and sincerely. And just like the woman who gave out her poverty, all that she had to live on, when we give to him, it has to be our everything. So he sees this heart of ours. That you may say you need to set apart this much, but if we give everything in entirety as if we're crazy, when he sees that, he will surely remember us. And when we give praise, when we come to service, we have to do it sincerely and wholeheartedly with everything that we have. If there's worship service, then we need to come early and prepare with prayer for the success of our worship and come with our prayers and offerings in order for the Lord to remember us. Do you think he will remember us if we're late and are doing it half-heartedly? No. We ought to come in preparation for the success of worship, for the success of my worship, all my praise and offering and service to him. It ought to be a remembrance to him. It'd be a shocking offering, a shocking praise, and leave a good memory for him. Those who go out to war, they equip themselves to live, to fight through the war, but the worship service is more than that. If we come without thought or preparation, God, he will not receive such unprepared worship. For he receives only the best. He receives only the very best. He receives our whole life. And third, we have to be those who join together in the work of proclaiming the gospel. Putting our lives on the line, even. Just like the criminal who proclaimed, we are criminals and are justly punished for our sins. But as he said this to Jesus, asking Jesus to remember him, to receive him, when the criminal was saying all this, he was on the brink of death, but with all his strength, with all that he had, he said this to Jesus. And when he did, Jesus received. When he said, remember me, Jesus said, I will remember you and take you with me to paradise. It's the same for me as well. As I speak and as I preach, and during prayer, I prayed with such cries as, let me not leave behind even 1 ounce, 1 gram of my strength, but let me pour out all my strength and let me give it to the point of death. Let me not do works to pass time or works for others to see, but to do it with sincerity and wholeheartedly in defending and keeping and teaching the truth. So there are churches, but if the church does not teach the truth, please help me to let our church continue to put our lives on the line in teaching, defending, and keeping the truth till the very end. The more I speak the truth, I know that it's less popular and people don't like to hear it. I know very well. But of what help is it to you if I don't speak the truth? Our souls will just end up in hell. But in order to be a remembrance to him in that critical moment when he needs to remember you, if he says, I remember you, I remember what you have done, what you have said, he will take you to the Father's house. The critical moment, when is that? Is when I, the soul, leaves the body, leaves this flesh. Will it be taken or will it be left behind? So we have to live for that moment, for him to remember us. Amen, hallelujah. I, the soul, needs to know Jesus, and I have experienced the truth of Jesus and experienced the gospel of Jesus Christ. I believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, when you return, Lord Jesus, when my soul leaves this flesh, please remember me. So Jesus said he will remember when we give his people even 1 cup of cold water. It says, and if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. In Matthew chapter 25, it says, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So the Lord said, I remember you have fed and taken care of me. And the believers replied, when have I fed you and took care of you? To which Jesus replied, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So he will remember it as being done for him. And so at our church during this season of dedication, we are now partaking in this relief work, and we're helping the people in Kentucky suffering from this disaster that happened. And those who have gone said it's physically very difficult work, but at the same time, they also said it was so joyful to do such work that they're just filled with this joy. Saying that they never knew serving like this could be so joyful. That fact, God will remember. If you've given your sincerity and done all this work for me, then I will remember you. So there are members in our church who have not yet gone or might not be able to go. But if you are able, I strongly encourage you to attend so that it will be something of remembrance to him, so that he will remember you, to have the attitude that even though I have my work and it's difficult for me to take off work, but I will do it and go serve. So please remember me. let this be a good memory for you. And all this hard work I'm doing with this body, remember me every second and every minute. Remember me, O Lord. And then he will remember us. So on the day our Lord Jesus returns, the day that we leave this body in flesh, he will remember us and take us to the Father's house. Hallelujah. So let us be those who receive this blessing. Hallelujah. Let us pray.